Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey Von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back for our final Halloween theme October episode. And this week we're doing 1992's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for the people that don't know what Dracula is, do you want to tell us a little bit about it, Jenna?
Yeah. So the synopsis we have here is the centuries-old vampire Count Dracula comes to England to seduce his barrister, Jonathan Harker's fiance, Mina Murray, and inflict havoc in the foreign land.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, if 1990s Gary Oldman was like, hey, I'm going to seduce you and steal you away from your fiance, I would be completely 100% on board with it.
Yeah. He did not look bad in 1992, except for like when his old crusty old Dracula.
When he hasn't like had blood in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks a little ratchet at that point. But when he's like, you know, feasting on the blood, and he's in the middle of London, he's got his long hair and his cool glasses, like he could definitely get it.
And especially when your competition is Keanu Reeves with an awful accent.
Oh, it's like, I felt like there were times where I was like, is he doing an accent? Like, there were times where he just sounded like himself. And
which, you know, that's fine. As long as something is consistent, I'm okay with it. I don't need you to be 1,000% accurate with your accent. Mm-hmm. As long as you are consistent with it. Like, we just watched The Last Duel. Those motherfuckers did not have accents. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck sounded like themselves. But it was fine.
You know? Yeah, they at least attempted to do more of an accent than, like, anything in that movie Valkyrie with, like, Tom Cruise, where they all just sound like they're from Southern California. And I was like, what is this movie? Why does it exist? And, like, I guess there's a part of me that's like, well, if you're just going to be so bad at an accent, then maybe don't do it. But it also kind of takes me out of the movie at the same time when you're, like, just are supposed to be, like, regionally somewhere and sound completely like yourself.
Right. Although it is always funny to me, like, you know, when they do these movies in, like, ancient Rome or, like Gladiator. Mm-hmm. Why is it that in Gladiator, a movie set in, like, Rome in 1300 BC, why do they all sound so British?
Oh, well, that's, like, why does every person that's French just have British accents?
Right.
Like, it's like, apparently that has become, like, the de facto accent for anybody that's foreign.
anything set outside of the United States, you just sound vaguely British.
No, they do that constantly for, like, because that was the whole thing in The Last Duel. They're supposed to be French, and, like, they all have British accents. Like, you're like, this is solidly France.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get you're not speaking French because we're ignorant Americans, but, like, maybe at least try a French accent. Like, I don't know.
Like, a French accent is, like, pretty sexy. Like, why don't use that? Yeah. Like, give that to me more.
I don't necessarily understand why British has become French.
Just the de facto, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. But, yes, everybody in this, they're at least supposed to be British, whether or not they actually are.
Yeah. Except for one random Texan, which is hilarious.
Yeah, that was hysterical. Like, at first, I was like, when he was first introduced, I'm like, wait, is he supposed to do a British accent or is he supposed to be American? I was like, oh, no, he's American.
He's a straight-up cowboy.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Yeah, the three hot men that she has to, like, figure out which one she's. I still can't get over that one of those men was Richard Grant.
Yeah. The sister is just like down, like just DTF, like is like ready to get married super quickly.
Cause she's also old. She's about to be 20.
Oh my God. Well, you know, she's probably had her period for 6 years. She's only going to be, like, alive for, like, 5 more years.
I know, right?
So she's going to get, like, 7 kids out of there.
Got to start, like, yeah, pumping them out. But that woman, excuse me, was DTF.
Yes.
All these men.
Yeah, because you have her, Lucy, and then you have Mina, and they're sisters, and they, like.
No, they're just friends.
Oh, they're not sisters. That's right. I think in one of the plays or something.
They make them sisters. Yeah, this is just like they were just like school friends, and one of them happened to be really wealthy, and the other one's Winona Ryder. But
yes, but like so, Winona Ryder's character is very like meek and like very like kind of demure. Just pining.
She does want the D though. That's very apparent.
Well, listen,
and she's anxious.
She's
like that weird like Kama Sutra book that's not Kama Sutra, but it kind of is.
It must have been so wild to like try to figure out sex back then, because literally it would have all been
those weird books.
It would have all been from books. It would have all not been like anything of like practical use. And like, of course, your parents were going to teach you anything. They were going to be like, oh, it's all in God's hands, which sounds so traumatic.
Yeah, you got this. It's like the scene in The Last Duel, where it's clearly, like, the first time she's about to have sex, and they come in and, like, bless the bed. It's so creepy. I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to get me real
in the mood. Right? In the mood. Every time.
Sex.
That poor girl, because even, like, the consensual sex that she has in that movie looks goddamn awful.
Yeah, that girl did. At least she got her baby, and then her husband died. And the other guy that raped her died. So, like, she got her happy ending. She just had bad sex for her life. But, I guess,
like, of all the things to happen, it could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
So the movie also, though, it starts where, like, there's, like, a flashback before we're in the part with like, Winona Ryder in the present. Yes.
We meet them in, like, what the... God, like, what, the 1300s or something?
Yeah, so, like, when he is still Vlad the Impaler. Impaler. Mm. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. When he, like, impaled those people and, like, you see them, like, slide down the...
Yeah, like, you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, I was like, that is a nasty way to die.
that seems awful. But, yeah, so Gary Oldman's Dracula, he comes back from war, but there was, like, a rumor spread that he had died in battle.
It's so, very Romeo and Juliet.
It really is. So what ended up happening is his wife, who is also played by Winona Ryder, kills herself. And
medication.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, that priest was a dick. Because then, like, Gary Oldman shows up, is like, where's my wife? What's going on? All this stuff. And the dude's just like, hey, your wife committed suicide, so she's going to hell. Like, she is damned to hell, you fucking idiot.
But I also love that they, like, describe and show that she jumps off of, like, this castle, but yet looks so pristine when they find, one, they found her body. That's kind of incredible, because they said she jumped into, like, the water. You think she would have been long gone. But they, like, have her body. It's, like, placed below this, what, like, altar type thing. And the only way she looks bad or dead is she has, like, a streak of blood coming out. Like, only the left side of her.
Oh, yeah, no, it's body gorgeous. Coming. She looks gorgeous.
Like, may we all look that good in death.
Well, have you ever heard there's that woman who jumped off of the Empire State Building? And this was, like, back in, like, maybe the 20s or the 30s.
Oh, God.
And it's crazy. She jumped off the Empire State Building. And there's this very famous picture. Because she landed on a car, obviously died. But when you see that picture, she looks beautiful. Like, it looks like she was, like, placed there. It's crazy. It's called the most beautiful suicide picture in the world or something like that. It's wild. Like, she, like, landed on the back.
Winona Ryder is this woman.
Yeah, no, like, that is what I thought of. Because I remember I had, like, I don't remember why I'd ever heard of that, but like I thought of that when I saw this part. Cause like that
because it's like a difference between like the corpse of like in Romeo and Juliet where it's like he takes poison, you look fine. She stabs herself like in the heart. Like this part of her is going to be all skanky, but like her face is going to look fine.
Oh yeah. No, except I do love in face.
Yeah. But I love in like Baz Luhrmann's though is because of like, it's like a low, it clearly looks like it's like a low, like the bullet that they used only did like the little hole in like the spray of blood. And that's it when like, come on, like hole over head just to get fucking blown off. Oh, it depends on the gun, I guess. But it's like point blank range. So that's the one time where I'm like, if you're going to have her shoot herself in the head, this
artistic,
only a little spray of blood. Like, they both can look good in death.
Oh, yeah. Well, she can't look ugly when like it's Leo laying like right next to her. Absolutely.
She
can
have half a blow.
Yeah, they're still trying to go for a PG-13 rating.
I still can't get over that movie being PG-13. It's kind of wild.
Well, that one, the fact that they have the same rating, that, the Baz Luhrmann one, and then the one that we just recently watched.
Yeah, that's the same
like a
rating.
Felt like a PG movie.
Yeah. I know. I was like, because there's some like knife wielding, you're like, oh, it's got to be PG-13. I'm like, nah, this just Jaws eats a woman and it's PG.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's true. Why? In Poltergeist, like the dude's face, like half of it falls off. And I think that's PG.
Yeah. The rating system back in like the 70s was wild. Like,
that was a coke-fueled nightmare.
Yeah. They're like, there's not like sex. So it can be like PG. It's like, but half a face is off. That's fine. Yeah. That's not going to harm children.
Right.
Crazy. But God forbid they see boobs.
Yeah. So basically though, because of her killing herself, like, and because the priest is like such a dick for some reason.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman like renounces the church and like goes apeshit.
Yeah. He like stabs the cross and it starts to bleed and stuff. I need a man to love me that much. Like,
I know. But it's like, also just like, it is funny that like in his head, he's like, well, I'm going to you. So my wife is supposed to be in hell forever, but I will just stay on earth forever. Like that's like his reasoning. Like I get it. He gets kind of mad. Like it's definitely like, I love the passion behind it all, but it is like, he's like, now we're like permanently lost, depending on like how you think the afterlife.
He believed that if he killed himself, that because she's going to hell, he thinks that he'd... Also, I love how he just assumes he'd be going to heaven. Like, you killed a lot of people.
And, like, in a very violent way.
So maybe if you killed yourself, you would have both met in hell. But, like, I think his assumption is, like, well, she's going to go to a different place than me, so, like, why not just stay in a different place? If I can never be with her, why not just be immortal? I don't know.
It's funny. See, men and their thought processes.
The logic. Like, literally, in Romeo and Juliet, he's the goddamn catalyst, too. If he doesn't kill himself, she's not going to kill herself.
Yeah, true.
He's all like, you're dead. You're dead. But I don't know. Did he assume that she killed herself? So he's like, I must kill myself?
I think that's what happened. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, well, like, the thing is, they were like, oh, she's dead. I think he just assumed that's what she did.
But in fairness, she was ready to kill herself, too. Because she's all like, well, if I can't be with him, like, I'm going to shoot myself in the head in the Baz Luhrmann one. I love that fucking scene.
Cocks
the gun and is like, oh, God, Claire Danes killed that scene. And the Friar Lawrence is like, fuck? Like, literally.
Yeah, it's just like, whoa, you need to calm the hell down.
We've known each other for maybe 48 hours.
Here's a Xanax bar, let's get your shit together.
So I guess it is the assumption of, well, if he can't be with her in the afterlife, then what is the afterlife, maybe? Like, why should I ever die if I can especially never be with this person?
It is actually, like, very sweepingly romantic.
Oh, well, Dracula is a romantic soul. He's very problematic. But he's romantic.
He is. He is. But you know what? I think, like, at its core, all sex is problematic, if you think about it. Otherwise, it's boring.
There you go, right?
Look at Jonathan Harker. We'll segue into the Jonathan Harker portion. Because,
oh, yes.
As played by Keanu Reeves, this man, Jonathan Harker, like, I would throw myself off of a castle before I married this guy. I don't care how desperate I was to get laid.
He's so boring. But my question is, like, is Keanu actually really bad at acting? Because this movie made me be like, dude.
He's not bad at acting. He was miscast in this. And what happened was, this movie was made because Francis Ford Coppola needed money. And he, like, his whole, I think he just, like, made some, like, bad movies in the 80s and, like, was trying to, like, you know, get all this stuff together. And, you know, that's why he made The Godfather Part 3. Like, probably shouldn't have made that movie.
Is that after this? Because I know Winona Ryder was supposed to be.
I think it was before.
Okay, because she was supposed to be, obviously, Sofia Coppola's character. Talk about miscasting.
Well, no, so that's the thing, is that he can't, well, and so it was originally going to be Winona Ryder. Then it was going to be Rebecca Schaefer, but then she got killed. Yeah. And then at that point, it's just like, oh, I'm just,
fuck it.
I don't know any other brunettes around here. You, but Sophia, like, you're up to bat.
Like, unfortunate tragedy with Becca Schaefer. Obviously, there were scheduling conflicts with Winona Ryder, but, like, you literally just couldn't find any other female actress in that age, right? Like, no, goddamn casting call. Like,
seriously? No, it's crazy.
You know what? Fuck it. Using my daughter. She can't be that bad. And then you're like, like, my friend went and saw, like, because it, like, it came out kind of recently. They, like, re-released it.
Oh, that's cool.
And Bobby's like, oh, I want to go see it. He's like, because I'd seen it forever ago. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to see it. And then he, like, texts me and he's like, I went in being like, she can't be that bad.
Oh, she can.
He's like, it has to be all, like, people talking it up. And he's like, I left the theater and I was like, no, it was bad. He's like, everything about it was so creepy. He's like, not only is her acting bad, but the creepy, like, her cousin, who's clearly like a decade plus older than her, is trying to, like, get all up in that shit.
Right.
Like, it was just, oh God. God. Yeah. I mean, when I would have made it better, I think anybody else would have made it better, but there's not a lot of help for Godfather Part 3.
Right. And again, it was done because he needed, you know, it was a financial decision. You see, like, something at, like, the sequel is, like, arguably one of, like, the best movies of all time. That's already a hard enough thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, for something. Like, that's almost unheard of. That's probably happened less than a handful of times ever.
And it's not even like, you can say, oh, I enjoy Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me more than I do International Man of Mystery. You could say I enjoy it more, but you're not saying, like, oh, this sequel is one of the best movies that's ever been made.
Right.
Whereas, like, with that, you're like, oh, this is, like, one of the best movies ever made.
Right.
That is extra wild.
Like, it's crazy. You know? It's super crazy. So, yeah. So, basically, what happened is he did Godfather Part 3. It still did very well. It, like, got Oscar nominations. It's just...
so
just the thing is, it has the impossible task of following The Godfather Part 1 and The Godfather Part 2.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's true. You can't, lightning cannot strike three times.
Same place. It would have been wild for that to happen.
Has there ever been? Like, I don't consider, like, the Harry Potter movies. That's, like, a whole thing.
Well, that's different. Yeah.
But, has there ever been, like, a trilogy that you can be like, damn, they're all great? I don't think that exists.
I mean, I won't say that they're all equally great, but I do really love the Back to the Future.
Yeah,
trilogy.
That is true. Those are all fun, like, in their own,
like,
right.
Those are solidly, first of all, I love the second one. I think the second one is
great.
Like
the third one. I just like the Western aspect of the third one.
So, like, it's, like, the thing is, I do think, like, they were smart, where they, like, were like, oh, let's pick a genre for each one, so we're not treading on everything.
True. Yeah, whether or not there needed to be two or three. I agree. All three are at least good.
A good time.
Yeah, that might be the only time it's happened. Because usually you'll be like, oh, I really like, again, I'll go back to Austin Powers. I like the first one, even though they don't really hold up well. I kind of watched them recently-ish, and they don't hold up.
I think the first one actually does a little bit.
Oh, I don't know. I watched and I was just like, oh, these aren't as good. Maybe it's just like they weren't as good as I remembered growing up.
But I had never seen them when I was growing up. So I was like, these are charming.
Yeah. So I liked the first two. I hate Goldmember.
Yeah.
Like
that seems to be the general consensus.
Terrible. Just terrible.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then I hate Legally Blonde too. I hope
that movie
it should explode and never be a part of the history of television. I mean, of films. It just shouldn't exist. Also, what's it called?
Miss Congeniality too.
Armed and Fabulous. Yeah. It's like once you've had like the subtitle, you know, like Legally Blonde, Red, White, and Blonde, or Miss Congeniality too, Armed and Fabulous. I'm like, this is gonna be shit.
Yeah. Also, at least get clever with
sequels. Like, that's really what gets me, too, in the whole idea of, like, of a sequel. It's like, have you, like, left the movie being like, I want more. I love Elle Woods. I didn't need to spend more time with Elle Woods than those, like, 90 minutes, truthfully. As much as I love Elle Woods.
No,
like,
of course.
No need for a sequel. And now we're getting a third one because the sequel was so bad, and they were like, we have to fix this.
We gotta do some retcon.
Like, a nearing 50-year-old Elle Woods. Like, why? Why are we spending time with an Elle Woods in her, like, mid to late 40s? I mean, I don't care. We had perfection. Like, because Legally Blonde is arguably a great movie. Miss Congeniality 2 is a lot of fun. I mean, Miss Congeniality is fun. I wouldn't say good movie. I love Legally Blonde versus, like, then it's like, oh, we've got to give a sequel to both of these movies that are so unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So basically, though, he did that for money. He did, and then he did this. He did this because he, like, knew, like, he was like, we need to, like, get the money in here. But, like, what happened was, Keanu Reeves was a box office draw. Like, everybody went to go see Keanu Reeves movies. They originally wanted either Kenneth Branagh or Daniel Day-Lewis to play Jonathan Harker. I mean,
imagine if Daniel Day-Lewis was in this movie.
I think he would have made a Francis Ford Coppola movie for sure. Like,
there's still recognition to that name, whether or not he phoned this in or he phoned in other things. There's still, like, Jack. Why the fuck are you in Jack? His 90s were some choices.
It's wild. I was like, did you have, like, a gambling addiction? Like, or was it, like, a drug problem? Was it prostitutes? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, Francis, what happened to you in the 90s, sir?
I think Apocalypse Now just, like,
killed almost everybody.
Right. Yeah, like, that seemed like such a harrowing experience. That it's just like, you know what? Okay.
Like, I ain't doing anything else ever again. I'm just going to stand behind the monitor and be like, you know what, Keanu? The accent might be working. I don't care.
Yeah. You just pop a Xanax. You're like, hey, I'm just vibing. Get some, like, reds over here. The reds look great. But, like, imagine if it happened, like, Kenneth Branagh or Daniel Day-Lewis. Like, then acting with Gary Oldman, like, it would have elevated the material, you know?
Fairness. Kenneth Branagh's, like, Frankenstein was a hot mess.
But didn't he direct that?
Yeah, he's also in it, too, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
Listen, though, like, but, you know, his Henry V is, like, one of the best Shakespeare adaptations of, like, all time. Like, that dude is really good.
He sticks to Shakespeare.
But, like, yeah, I think he is really good at the classics. Yeah. Mm. There is something about this, though, because, like, I mean, I never saw that Frankenstein.
Oh.
So I don't know. Is that the one that Robert De Niro is in?
Yes. First of all, De Niro is the monster. Which
hilarious.
Why? I think the most, it was like they went for shock factor. Like, there's a scene where, like, he, like, goes to, like, the monster goes to, like, Helena Bonham Carter and, like, rips into her chest and rips out her heart.
Oh my God.
It is terrifying. And I was just like,
we gotta watch this. This sounds great.
This. Jesus.
But like, I will say, like, I think there was like a point in the 90s where like, there were these movies being, these period pieces being made that were like, they were still trying to like cash in on the violence of like 90s thrillers or like 90s action movies, but like place it in period pieces. And there is this weird, there was still like a weird disconnect to it because like, even though I know it was violent back then, like, I'm not saying I thought it was, like, I think it's, like, picturesque or anything like that. But there's something about the way these movies were made. Because there's that one Jekyll and Hyde movie with, like, John Malkovich and Julia Roberts. And I remember and let me tell you, you talk about Keanu Reeves being miscast in a thing. Dear Lord, like, I remember being, like, 9 years old trying to watch this, and, like, at a certain point being, like, this is boring. Mm. Like, I'm supposed to not be watching this. You'd think I'd be more excited by that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, like, sneaking watching this in our little apartment. Like, I could get caught any second, and it wouldn't be worth it because this movie sucks.
That's a letdown.
It was terrible. But, so this at least, like, I do think this one, even though there are parts that are uneven, I've seen so many bad 90s period pieces that this is, like, literally, even with, like, all the bad stuff, like, this is still pretty good.
I just felt like there were parts where I was just, like, bored. And I was like, drifting.
Yeah, there are parts that do drag. I felt like it needed to be tightened up. If they had leaned in more to, like, some of the, like, imagery and stuff, because there's some really cool, really, like, dope images in this where, like, this, like, really surreal stuff. Like, when Jonathan Harker gets to Dracula's castle, you know, and, like, Dracula shows up, and he looks like he's, like, 9,000 years old. He's, like,
he's very, like, so white.
Yeah, looks like he is in whiteface. Like,
yeah.
It's just all over. But he's wearing this, like, gorgeous, like, red kimono thing. But, like, he's, like, kind of, like, I don't even know how to explain it, because it doesn't seem like he's gliding. But, like, he's just moving very gracefully in it, even though, like, he looks like he's about to fall over and die. Like, you know, you see that, and then the whole thing where then Dracula finds a picture of Mina, of Winona Ryder now, in Jonathan's stuff. And, like, then it's just like, oh my God, this is my wife reincarnated. Like, oh shit, I gotta get back there. Which is funny, because, like, this is the first, that's, like, not a thing in the Dracula
Him trying to get his wife back?
Yeah, like, I think it's, like, he does, like, go after Mina, but it's more of just, like, oh, it's, like, a boogeyman type of thing. Like, he's just, like, oh, I'm going after, like, you were the first person here. Oh, that's your wife? I'm going to take your wife kind of thing.
Yeah, versus, like, having the meaning of this looks exactly like the woman that, that he was
that still. That I've been mourning for the last, like, 500 years.
Insane to me. God, that's the love. I want that kind of love.
It is. It really is. But you know what? That's fine. It's a little bit better than just, like, being bored by Jonathan Harker.
Yeah. Also, what else do you have going on in your life?
Just like,
it seems so boring. Like, what the heck are you doing? Of course, like, you're going to, like, oh my God. I can't even imagine living then, like, my fuck. Like,
no, I know.
Only all thing you're doing is have sex.
Yeah.
You have 1,000 babies, because there's literally no other entertainment except for that.
Right. And we talked about how her friend is considered an old hag because she's almost 20 and, like, isn't married with kids yet. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you just, like, it's interesting, though, because if you go back and you just look at, like, all of, like, if you look at history and the history of female writers, like, a lot of the greats were from that time period. And it's because women have, like, because they're just like, what am I going to do? I'm waiting to be a wife. So I might as well just sit by candlelight and write.
Yeah. No, it's like, true. It's true.
Like, if you think about it, Louisa May Alcott is probably like, the fuck else am I doing right now?
Well, and it was still actually the most the only socially acceptable thing you could still do but also while married. Like, you could still be married because you're, you know, you're still at home. You're just like at home.
Writing. If the kids are asleep, like, you're writing. So it's like, out of the boredom of that era is what, like, breathed some of, like, the best female literature.
Well, you got it. You got, like, Frankenstein is written by Mary Shelley, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's great.
Look at it and you're like, some of the best female writing of all time, like, was from the time period where there was literally no other distraction. You had your husband, you had your children, but when your husband's going to work and your children are napping, you're writing. Like, wild to me, you know?
It seems great. And, like, weirdly, not great. I don't want to say great.
No distraction.
Yeah, the no distractions thing sounds great because, like, for me, I'm constantly distracted. I'm always off doing something. If I just, like, I always have to, like, I have to force myself to, like, carve time in every day to write. Whereas, like, this person probably, like, anybody, any woman would just be like, oh, I got up, I made sure my kids are fed, made sure my, like, husband is fed before he goes off to work. Now I write for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And, like, you probably, that's all you want to do. Cause, like, it's not like you want to do the laundry. It's not
excited about that. That is, like, your literal form of entertainment is your own writing. And it's like, these women were incredible writers. It's not like, I'm not taking away from, like, women writers today, but if you really think about it, like, if you think about, like, the ones you talk about, the legends, like, it's from that era where there was literally nothing else to do except for write.
Up until, like, maybe about the 50s. Because, like, you know, you still have, like, Virginia Woolf. You have, like, all of those. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's, like, once technology really started to come into play, all of our, like, creativity went out the window. Because we're like, I can watch TV on my phone.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I could watch 10 hours of Ted Lasso or do 10 hours of writing. No thanks.
What am I going to do? I'm going to watch Jason Sudeikis, right? Like, it's such a better thing to do. And it, like, distracts you from anything, whereas, like, that was your only distraction then.
Exactly.
So that's why. I do love how at one point in this, though, she's not, like, handwriting anything. She's, like, a badass at her typewriter. I remember her friend comes in and she's just like, oh, is Jonathan teaching you how to use that thing? And I was just like, no, bitch, I just want to type on this typewriter.
Clearly, I know how to do
it. Is that, like, it's funny though, because there's a certain point where people just, like, didn't know how to use typewriters and didn't know how to use stuff like that. I remember granted the TV show Glow was in the 80s, but I remember there's, like, one point where they were like, we're gonna come up with our own script for this, and, like, they're shooting ideas and and then Betty Gilpin is like, do you know how to type? And it's like, no, I have no clue. And it's like, people did it. It's so wild that people didn't know how to do this thing that seems sort of simple to us today.
Yeah, it's true. Although I always said, like, whenever I, like, back when we were, like, kids and, like, we had to learn how to, like, use a typewriter, I, like, hated the way it looked. Like, I think the way, like, typed, like, pages, like, typed words on a page looks so ugly to me. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I love the aesthetic of a typewriter. But, like, when you get down to it, like, I'm like,
formatting a script on a fucking typewriter
sounds like a nightmare.
If I just be like, oh, let me, like, punch in the keys, I feel really cool. But then I'm like, I'm not doing anything, though, because I'm not being like, oh, let me. Whereas, like, you have Final Draft, it does it for you.
And it's so nice. Oh, my God. See, again, we're living in the best timeline because, yeah, I mean, I remember, like, the first script I ever wrote when I was, like, 13 or 14 years old. Like, first, like, real script, not something that was, like, you know, some, like, stupid thing in, like, elementary school. Like, the first thing I actually tried to do properly, I, like, gave up after, like, the first act because I was like, this is too hard.
Yeah.
Like,
fuck this.
You know, I was just like, I'm sorry. Like, I just need to, like, get, like, enough money to, like, pay someone to do this for me.
Yeah.
Get a ghostwriter just for formatting, a screenplay.
Yeah, I will tell you everything to write, but I don't want to actually write it. Thank you.
I will pay you all of the money for it.
So she's like at her typewriter, her like, she's been staying, which is interesting. Like I was going in and out, half paying attention, half falling asleep. Like, was there a reason why she was just like staying at her girlfriend's place? And like, does she not have a place of her own?
Well, I think it was like they brought up the fact that she was like an orphan. Like she didn't have anybody besides
Jonathan and her friend.
So like it would be improper.
Live in my awesome mansion with me while I try to dick down all these men.
Oh my God. Love that. Love that for her, Lucy. Yeah.
Oh, but Lucy was the slut I strive to be.
Yes. Like has all these like men just like throwing her, like has Carrie Yules. Like, come on. That's obviously the one you go for.
That's when, well, yes, that was the choice. That was her choice. But oh, that's when he was like primo.
Yeah. Even though, like, he's still not as hot as he was in, like, Princess Bride, but he's still, like, banging hot.
Well, he's still, like, better looking now than, like, let's say, what's his face, who just looks so unfortunate. He's on the blacklist now. James Spader.
Oh, like, depressing.
That's just unfortunate.
That guy used to be so hot.
Oh, my God. Like, Sex Lies videotape?
Oh, my God.
But he was, like, good-looking into, like, the early 2000s, and then literally don't know what happened.
I would say he got hot, or he was even, like, I would say he was, like, hot. Like, I would have, like, been DTF, like, in The Office, but he was still, like, pretty good-looking when he, like, was on The Office. Mm. Right, I never really watched the show, but, like, I did, like,
I knew he was on it. I was aware of his... of him, his presence.
Yeah.
People will always drop Office resident, like, references, and I'll just do the whole, like, fake haha smile and pretend like I know. Like, I know the names of characters, but I literally have no idea what situation. I was like, do you just assume that I watch The Office? I'm sorry, I could not watch The Office.
Kim and Pam. That's all you need to say.
Kim and Pam and Michael Scott. That's about all I need to know.
Yeah. Although, did you see Chris Evans's tweet about The Office?
No, what did he tweet?
He was just like, oh, when Jim and Pam are having a bad day, but it ends with them, like, passing notes to each other, that's the good stuff. Or, like, something like that.
Hey, why am I not married to him? Because he is a fucking nerd, but it trapped in the hottest dude's fucking body. Like, that's literally Chris Evans. He is, like, the nerdiest nerd trapped in the hot dude body, and it doesn't make sense, and that never exists.
It's crazy. But, yeah, so basically when Dracula is just like, oh my God, that's my wife. I've gotta go get her. He like leaves Jonathan to be like eaten by his like weird, like his
succubuses, like.
Yeah, his vampire brides.
Yeah.
Which is like so funny. It's like, oh, so like, you couldn't have, like, you thought you were going to be, like, you couldn't be, oh, you know, you've been separated from your wife forever. So instead of just finding, like, one companion for, like, the rest of, like, your undead life, you have to have, like, five. You slut. Dracula. No. You
dumb. Or it's because, like, I cannot be with one because there's only one. So I need to sort of, like, supplement the idea of, like, oh, I'm so in love with this man and he dies. So now I'm just going to have sex with a bunch of men because like I want to feel it for like a night, but I don't ever want to feel it again because it's not that person type thing.
Right.
Is the vibe you can sort of take from it too.
Yeah. No, of course.
Yeah. Which is also sad.
No, it's very sad. Very, very sad. But yeah, he goes and like they do that whole thing where like, you know, he has to travel in the soil of his country for whatever reason. That's just how it is in every iteration. I never understand it. Like, I get it. Like, you're in a coffin. Sure.
Oh my God. One of the more recent episodes of, What We Do in the Shadows is literally about how they go traveling and they forget, or no, they don't forget. They bring all of, they're going to Atlantic City and they bring all their dirt and they spray the dirt around the beds. But the maid comes in and cleans up all the dirt.
Oh, that's so funny.
So when they go to sleep, they're like, are you having trouble slumbering? Why am I having trouble slumbering? And it's like, holy shit! All of the dirt, soil from the homeland is gone. But yeah, that is why it's like, yeah, you need the soil from your homeland in order to like sleep properly. But isn't so he like in it up to his neck?
Oh yeah, like it's like a blanket. It's like very hilarious. Like, it's just like, wow, you really committed, Gary Oldman.
Just stick me in this up to my neck of all this dirt.
Yeah. So anyway, he like travels because he's like, I'm gonna get you, Mina or Elisabetta is like what her name was back when they were together.
Yeah.
And, but then like when he gets there, he's like he gets to London and he turns into this like wolf looking thing.
Oh, fucking wild.
Like, I was just like, wait a second. Cause like, I was like, no, he's a vampire. We know he's a vampire. Why does he need to look like a wolf? Like, it looks cool.
That was insane. And then he just goes around raping people.
Yeah, like, he starts having sex and, like, drinking their blood because he needs to start looking like snatched Gary Oldman.
Yes. So he can turn into, like, looking like, yeah, a werewolf of fucking London, just sucking the blood out of people. So, yeah, he can, like, look super cool.
Oh, like, so cool. Like,
with his glasses, like.
Those glasses, like, nobody could pull those glasses off. Like, it's wild that he looks good in those glasses. Cause there's these, like, these round, weird things. But, like, when he wears them, he looks really good.
Yeah, you're like, all right. The costuming's good for this. Like,
No, I love, the costumes in this movie are amazing.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But, like, what was the budget, man?
I can't remember what her name is, but the woman who, I think the woman who did the costumes won an Oscar.
Oh, for this?
Yeah. It is hilarious to me though, that like, you know, he's doing all this because he wants to get with,
it made like $82 million. That's like really not that bad considering.
No, for the 90s. How much did it cost though?
I know, that's the thing. All right, so I'm going to say budget. Because movies hadn't even hit the 100 million yet. Because wasn't that 70 million? So it made money. No, that's maybe not it. It's Dracula Untold. What the hell is that? I'm going to do Dracula 1992. Because Titanic at, like, in 97, wasn't that the first, like, over $100 million budget? 40 million. Yeah. It cost 40 million to make.
Oh, so it did okay.
So it made double. So the movie did fine. It made, they're not good, but it did what it was supposed to do financially.
Yeah. But see, what's funny is, I love that, basically, he's doing all this to, like, woo Winona Ryder, right? Yeah. Like, he's just, like, ready. Like, he wants to get her. But still bites her friend, has sex with her friend. Yeah. I guess maybe he probably doesn't know that they're, like, friends. Close.
Yeah.
But, like, it just feels, I'd be like, dude, what the hell?
But you're this in love with me? And I'm like, I get it. You need to, like, bite her, but do you need to, like, also have sex with her?
Yeah, and like, so that, and that is like, well, the thing is, like, you see her, them having sex and like, in like, he's in that like weird wolf form.
Yes. And like, this girl like thinks it's her dreams and shit.
Yeah.
So creepy. She thinks she's like sleepwalking and she's like, oh yeah, I had this like sex dream and it's like, but it was really vivid.
And I gotta say, like, it was a little hot. I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was a little hot.
That was going to be my batshit moment because at one point it's like, he's just, I was not expecting this getting it and then biting her neck. And then Winona Ryder's watching it. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. What is this? But yeah. So basically he does finally like start talking to Winona Ryder after he's like had some blood. He's starting to look like he looks good. And he starts like chatting her up and is like talking to her and all this. And then like, it seems like, oh man, like something's about to happen. Like maybe he's gonna, like, this is gonna work for him. Mm. But then she gets word, like Jonathan, Keanu Reeves's character, like was able to escape the castle.
Didn't at one point it look like he was like, he's like on the edge of the castle. And then it looked like he kind of floated in air and then fell into the water.
Yeah, it was, I think they were trying to make it seem like he was just, like, kind of delirious because, like, they've been, like, sucking on his blood for so long.
It was almost like he got, like, powers to, like, kind of hover for a bit.
And yeah.
Then, like, fall into this water. but yeah, he, like, winds up in, like, a convent, and those women then get word to Winona Ryder.
Who then, like, is like, oh, I gotta go get him, and, like, we gotta get married. And so she leaves. And that's when, like, Dracula goes a little, like, nutso. He's like, fuck this. And then he, like, turns Lucy into a full vampire.
Yes.
Then. And I'm like, man, I do, when a man throws a tantrum, just really just wrecks shit.
Yeah. But I think one of my favorite parts is when they were like, oh, and then they also start to hook up with Von Helsing.
Yeah.
Who is Anthony Hopkins.
So funny.
But yeah. It's because, Richard E. Grant, he was, like, a student of Van Helsing, and was like, if anybody can, like, help us, it's going to be this person, so we're going to get him. But I do love how, like, transfusions weren't a thing yet, really. It's like, it seems like Van Helsing invented transfusions. But, like, for a blood transfusion to work, which we know today, you have to have compatible blood.
Right.
So, like, they're literally, like, to, like, Carrie always, they're like, all right, get down. We're going to take your blood and we're going to transfuse it into her because she's mysteriously oozing blood from these two holes, but there's no blood everywhere. We have no idea. And Van Helsing's like, well, it's because somebody's literally sucking it out.
It's vampires.
But, like, the thing is, you're putting this blood into her and it, like, you could have completely opposite blood. So, like,
right.
So funny.
I guess it's just like, it's going to be a crapshoot anyway. She's probably going to die. Might as well just try
everything. Just fuck it, right? Fuck it.
She's going to die regardless. Let's just, like, go out trying everything.
Right? But yeah, so then her three lovers who are somehow still friends, even though one, yet they're, like, still boys. So they, like, show up. I think it's because Richard E. Grant is, like, her, like, doctor as well.
Yeah, her physician. Which, conflict of interest seems like a real weird thing to do.
No shit, right? So then they're there with Von Helsing, and now they become, like, vampire hunters. And then he's like, she's definitely a vampire. We have to, like, stab her through the heart with a stake and cut off her head because, you know, we don't fuck around.
We don't fuck around at all.
Yeah. So they go to her coffin and they, like, take, and it's, like, pretty much, like, just this slab. So they move the slab and then they look in and she's not there. And they're like, where is she? And the whole time Anthony Hopkins is like, I told you, bitch is a vampire. We don't know. And then she's trying to, like, eat a child. Also, they eat too many children in this. They eat, like, a baby at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of kid killing in this one.
They save this child from being devoured. But I'm like, is there something about the blood of a child that's like somehow?
I think it's just that there's so many orphans in London back then that, like, they're just easy to take.
Just snatch an orphan. But yeah, so thankfully they saved said orphan from dying, but holy shit, like, and she like looks pale as shit now, like she looks like how Dracula, like, you know, when Jonathan first meets Dracula, that's like how, you know, Lucy looks now, and they're like, what is going on?
She hasn't like feasted really yet.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, you pale girl.
But that's probably why they're like, oh, see, we can kill her now because she's like not as hot as we remember.
Yeah. We'll stab her in the heart and then just sever that head, and they're like, okay, this is good thing they had Von Helsing to know these rules.
Yeah, I mean, I just like this, like, idea, though, that, like, Richard E. Grant was like, oh, I mean, he's just, like, a renowned doctor, like, he's just gonna know more, like, he's still, like, I just imagine him thinking, it's like, oh, he's gonna tell us it's, like, a form of pneumonia, like, we have to get, like, these herbs from, like, Asia, or, like, something like that, and then Anthony Hopkins being like, nah, it's vampires. And him being like, I'm sorry, what?
And you're like, what? Like, I was not expecting you to say vampires.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, like, there's literally nothing we can do. And then she, like, tries to bite, like, the Texan at one point, too.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's insane. It is insane.
Crazy. But I gotta say, though, like, there's all this, like, craziness going on. But then Dracula catches up to Mina. Hoo-wee. Let me tell you, I think they did the love story of them so well that by the end of the movie, like, with the way it ends, Like, I'm just upset.
You're like, this isn't the happy ending I wanted for this bloodthirsty.
Yeah, I want them to, like, turn, like, I want him to turn her into a vampire, and then I want it to become, like, a natural-born killer situation, or, like, John Hamm and that girl in Baby Driver, where they just, like, there's just, like, these two hot people that, like, have to kill other people sometimes.
Yeah, they get off from murdering people.
Oh, man. See, that's the love story.
That's the love story you're into.
For me personally. And I don't even like natural-born killers that much.
And for me, I'm like, they're in the eighth grade. This is so cute. They're having their first little kiss. And Jenna's like, why aren't they murdering a bunch of people?
Hey, have they murdered anybody yet? All right, let me know. I'll get off Instagram when they start murdering people.
Right, yeah, these little eighth graders just go on this fucking murder spree. It's like, isn't that what the whole, like, Badlands movie is? Wasn't that, like, the OG movie of, like,
yeah, two
lovers go on, like, a killing spree?
Look at that. What's his name? Terrence Malick. You know what's up.
You make four movies and it takes you decades between them, but...
But hey, you were ahead of your time as far as, like, young lovers that want to kill people. Love that for you.
Oh my God.
But, oh man. So, but basically what ends up happening though is that, Mina says that she remembers her past life, mm-hmm. which is crazy. Like, there's a part of you that's just like, oh, like, up until this point, you're like, oh, does Dracula maybe just, like, want it to be her? Like, obviously.
Yeah.
We know it's played by the same character, like, or it's played by the same actress. So, like, we see the connection, but, like, is it just, like, a thing where, oh, because she looks like her,
yeah,
this is why he's going for her. But then she throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing and says, like, she remembers and that she loves him. And it's like, what?
What's wild about that is that it's like, okay, are you just supposed to be a descendant? But, like, how are you a descendant? Because she died before she, like, bore children.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, or are you just a reincarnation, which is fine, but, like, you're reincarnated looking identical?
Right.
So that's, like, the one, like, hang up for me where I'm just,
I think it's just because it had to be a visual thing, because it's not like she was going to, there was no way for her to go with him. But there's, like, I feel like
maybe you needed,
I remember thinking, like, oh, what if there was, like, a thing where she was, like, always talking about, like, flowers or, like, a certain thing she always loved that, like, this person now, like, really loves. Like, maybe it's that. But then, like, I don't know, like, how you would even relay that to Dracula to be like,
yeah, this your girl, this your girl. She looks different, right? But this your girl. Because they've done that in other movies where it's like, oh, I'm supposed to be like not even a direct descendant at this point. I'm like 1,000 separated years, and it's like, like, you look identical to this person, and it's like, why do you though?
Right. Like, it's like, maybe they should have had just like it should still be played by the same actress, but like maybe like the hair is different, or like maybe there's like just like one defining feature that they have. Yeah. Like,
that's like a little different.
Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, she used to have a birthmark on her right cheek. There's not one there now, but like, that's her. Like, maybe something like that. I don't know.
There's this one line in Supergirl that I find fucking hysterical, where they're like, oh my God, I know your descendant from the year, the 31st century. So we're talking the 31st century. We're in the 21st. And she's like, oh my God, does she look like me? I was like, bitch, no.
That's so funny.
Do you know how fucked the bloodline has got at that point? It's like, oh yeah, no, she is you. I'd be like, see,
absolutely,
I can't get on board with that shit.
That's so funny. But, yeah, and I gotta say though, the scene though, where they're like confessing their love for each other and like he's in bed with her, like one of the most erotic scenes in the world. Like, it's so hot. Like, literally, yeah, like,
Coppola knows eroticism.
It's crazy. Like, I wouldn't have thought that. Like, I've never, like, I don't think besides this movie that he's ever done anything that's even remotely sexy. Like, yeah, Al Pacino's hot in The Godfather.
Yeah, but it's not like it's a sexy movie.
Because even, like, the one sex scene in The Godfather is, like, kind of weird because it's just, like, a wedding night thing.
Like, wedding night sex. Yeah. I just gotta see what else. What did Francis Ford Coppola do after this? Like, okay, not produce, not stuff he produced. I need the things you directed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here we go. All right, so let's see. So he, all right, so the '80s he did like, but then even after Apocalypse Now, like he did some good stuff. Like I like The Outsiders. He did a lot of like S.C. Hinton things.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't know he directed that. That's interesting.
Yeah, Outsiders and Rumblefish he did.
I think what happened was there was like a musical he did that like, like tanked really hard. I think.
Am I One From the Heart?
Maybe. I think it, yeah. I don't know, actually.
I don't know if it's a musical, though. It could be. Yeah, so there's something. So he did Apocalypse Now, and then he did a movie called One from the Hot. Then he did The Outsiders, Rumblefish, something called Cotton Club.
Hmm.
And then he did a short film. Then he did Peggy Sue Got Married, which I like.
Love that movie. Love Peggy Sue Got Married.
Then something, Gardens of Stone. I don't know. Tucker, right. The Man in His Dream? I don't even know what that is. I've never even heard of that. Yeah, Godfather Part 3 was in 1990. Yeah, then Dracula 92. Then Jack 96.
Jesus. After a four-year...
Dude, Jack kind of killed him. Jack like killed his career. Because then he did The Rainmaker in 97. And then
I liked that movie.
And then he didn't do anything for a decade.
Yeah, because the next one was Tetra.
No, something called Youth Without Youth.
Oh.
That was in 07. And then Tetra, then Twix. Something called Distant Vision. He hasn't done anything since 2016.
I think Twix was a vampire movie, too. Tetra is the one with Vincent Gallo. And that dude that was in Hail Caesar.
Alden out.
Yeah.
Also, he's got a new movie coming out that has a stacked fucking cast. Ready for this? They're all rumored.
Oh, okay.
But rumored. Zendaya. Okay. Oscar Isaac.
Love it.
Kate Blanchett.
Okay.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
In it.
Jessica Lange. John Voight. Jimmy Kahn. And Forest Whitaker. Like, that cast is insane. I hope these rumors are true. Yeah, it's called Megapolis. It's an architect wants to rebuild New York City as a utopia following a devastating disaster.
Ooh, interesting.
So we'll see if he's getting his mojo back.
Yeah.
He's also like 1,000 years old.
Yeah, but so what? Martin Scorsese is 1,000 years old. That dude still consistently makes good movies.
He does. Yeah, I feel like he's the one that it's like, even if you're, like, not huge on it, you're not like, oh, this movie was a sellout type thing.
Yeah, or like it was bad. Yeah.
So good on Marty for that.
Yeah.
Like, even if you weren't big on Hugo, I think Hugo's adorable. Like, you could kind of be like, why is he doing a weird kids movie? But I also...
But it's about cinema. It's about cinema. So, of course, it makes sense.
And I love Asa Butterfield. Like, I sat through that fucking piece of shit Ender's Game because I love him so much.
Oh, my God. I couldn't be me. That's crazy.
Not good. I was like, I'm pretty sure Ender's Game had multiple books and literally one movie because it's not good.
That's so funny.
It was like, they were like, you know what? We don't need to Hunger Games this shit. Like, we don't need to, like, Harry Potter this. One movie and you're done. But
well, it's so funny, like the same thing with like Beautiful Creatures, like that was a series.
Was that too? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know when it's a series.
Never know.
It's only
one
movie, it's because the rest of these movies are going to be bad too. I also don't think that movie had that awesome of a budget versus like, you know, other, you know, Hunger Games had like really good budget and stuff like this. So like it looks better. It's like more visually appealing. But yeah, I wanted Asa Butterfield to be, I was like stoked thinking that he was going to be Peter Parker. And then I was upset when he didn't get cast. And then I was like, oh no, but Tom Holland's perfect. So like, I guess. I just remember being like, you're not going to cast him. You're so stupid. What a mistake. And then I was like, oh no, it's cool.
You know what's good? Like one of the big tragedies of like the Spider-Man thing is that Michael Ingarano never got to play Peter Parker. Cause I feel like he's a perfect Peter Parker.
Been.
He's too old now.
He was just way too old. Like, any time those movies came out, it would have been, he was either too young, he was, like, way too young to be, even though, like, Andrew Garfield was way too friggin' old to be Peter Parker.
They were both too old. Tobey Maguire was 27, and Andrew Garfield was 26.
That's crazy. Yeah, like, even Tom Holland's too old at this point, but he still looks like he's, like, 15, so it, like, works for...
Right, and, like, the thing is, when he first started, he looked like a baby boy.
Yeah,
like,
and when he did first start, I think he was supposed to be, like, what, 15-year-old Peter Parker, and I think he was, like, 18. So, like, you're still, I'm okay as long as you're still a teenager.
Yeah, like, but also, I actually don't mind it, because, like, we grew up on CW rules.
Yeah.
27 is a high schooler.
Y'all didn't take me out of it completely. Like, I'm totally fine with it. Like, if it takes me out of it and I'm just like, you're just, oh my God, you're way too old. Or if it, like, if I don't care, like, with Rob being in, playing a teenager at what, like, 28 on the show was on. Like, again, that show's like, you're not supposed to be, like, taking that show as seriously as you would, like, let's say something else.
But also, when you see him next to other people,
it doesn't look bad.
They even had a throwaway line where it was like, oh,
he was older than he was supposed to, right?
Yeah, that he'd been, like, held back a couple of times. Like, they even made that, like, had that line.
Yeah, yeah, because weren't they like, oh, yeah, no, we can, like, get him on rape charges because he's over 21.
18, over 18.
Yeah. Or did they say he was over 18? Okay.
Yeah, because I don't think he was supposed to be over 21.
21.
I don't think they would let somebody stay behind that. Long.
That much? You have, like, been a here whole for other 7 high school? Years.
Like, yeah, you should be a doctor by now, but you're in high school.
Yeah. But you're still in high school? You are dumb as shit. But yeah, so, like, as long as it doesn't, like, take me out of it.
Right.
Like, the perfect example is the dude that is the love interest in The Edge of 17 was 30.
Cameron in 30. Ferris Bueller. OG Cameron from Ferris Bueller was 30 years old.
That's crazy to me when you're like...
He looked like a baby.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't, like, take you out of it at all. Because it could sometimes take you out of it if, like... Like, that was the problem with the OC a little bit, was that, like, Misha Barton did look younger than them. But, like, also weirdly older than she was in real life, though.
Right.
It was, like, a weird thing. It was a weird... The OC had some weird...
Because I think if they had put her next to another 15-year-old, it would have looked weird.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, like, Ben McKenzie's just so hot in that, and he sells it. But, like, a solid 10 years older than her, because Misha Barton was literally, like, 15 in that.
Yeah.
But looked... It was weird. Like, I stand by it. Looked younger than the rest of the cast, but looked older than her character.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's just crazy. It's like, that cast is so good together. Not even just like the romanticness, like the romantic.
That was a well cast show.
It was so good. Love that show. But one of my favorite things about this is that Mina is the one who's basically begging him to turn her into a vampire. Cause like, you she know, remembers. In most things. But, like, in most things, you know, it would probably still be him trying to convince her that this is what they need to be together. Mm-hmm. But, like, he straight up loves her so goddamn much that he's like, I don't want that for you. But she's like, please, please. Oh, my God. And I was like, I need to lay down. This is, like, too hot.
Too much. This is too much. Yeah, no, it's because, yeah, even though he wants to be with her, he knows what, like, being a vampire is. Not wanting that. That again.
It's so romantic, but then he does it. Then he, you know, because he loves her, and he's like, I can't say no to you. How do I say no to this face?
Right?
And, like, basically, like, starts to transform her into one. And then these cop blocks, these vampire hunters, like, bust in, jerks. I was just like, you men, I'm so mad at you. And
you're ruining this moment!
Hey, what the hell? Did I ask for your help? No.
I'm becoming a vampire, bitch.
Yeah.
Let me enjoy it.
Yeah. And then, but basically then he's just like, ah, she's my bride now. Ha ha ha. But like manages to escape. But like, it's like, how do you come back from that? Cause like Jonathan Harker now is like stuck with Mina, who like clearly is just like, yeah, I wanted him to do that. And.
Like, oh, by the way, man, you're not saving me. Even though you think you need to save me, because men just want to save everybody. I wanted
He was actually saving me.
Yeah.
FYI.
I wanted eternal life, bitch. Give me my eternal life.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But
wild.
But yeah, so basically then it's him and he's like on his way back to Transylvania. He's just like, okay, we gotta go. Like, I'm gonna be there. And then like, yeah, so then it's basically becomes them chasing him to get back there to try to kill him because they're like, oh, if we kill him, then Mina will be able to like go back to normal.
Yeah. Cause that seems to be the thing. You kill like the vampire that turned you. You get to go back to being human.
That's right. But like if you die before that, then you just die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah.
On this journey to Transylvania.
We're able to find out that because like Anthony Hopkins like what would you call it? Oh, like hypnotizes her mm-hmm. or something like that. So like they can like they see that they have like a connection to each other now that like she knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so then that's why they're like, okay, we got to go back. We're going to like destroy him. And, yeah. So they're like, you know, this is where I get kind of like lost in the movie because I'm just like, see, she is sort of helping them, but like not really. And then the brides show up and then Mina starts to like turn into one of them, like turn, like, you know, like turning into like one of the brides sort of a thing.
Bride of Dracula. I also love how they say Dracula.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds cooler than Dracula.
Yeah. Dracula. Well, Dracula sounds like very, like Americanized. Like, yeah. Like a very, like...
yeah. It's like, oh, I'm gonna call you Dracula.
Yeah.
But Dracula.
But, I do think she, like, handled the whole thing of him, like, of his wives, like, way better than I would have. Where, like,
yeah.
Wait a goddamn second. Like, who the fuck are these pictures? How there are seven of you?
That is like, this is, that is like six too many.
Yeah. You have one for every day of the week. That's shitty, dude.
Yeah, this is my Monday hoe. This is my Thursday. Yeah. Like, right?
Oh my God. But, yeah, so Mina starts, like, turning into, like, one of those women, though. And, like, at one point, like, Van Helsing puts, like, the communion wafer on her forehead, which was cool. Like, that was a cool look. Because, like, it, like, burns her forehead, basically. Yes,
because it's, like, blessed by the priest. Imagine if you ingested it accidentally, thinking it was, like, right? A cracker. Oh.
Yeah, ooh, yeah. She, like, and then, just, like, flays herself from the inside out.
That would be hysterical. Ooh, a
yeah. But basically though, like they do this whole thing where, you know, they basically get to Dracula. There's like this big fight and then Dracula gets wounded and then Mina like rushes over and like is ready to like kill some motherfuckers, which like I was ready for. I was like, Mina, just take out one of these guys. Like just like take the shotgun like right in the chest. Come on. Give it to me. We didn't get that, though.
No. Mina goes the other way.
Yeah. But it's great. I do love it. Like, she's loyal to him to the very end.
Mm-hmm. Down to chopping his head off.
Yeah. But because, you know. And it's better that it's her doing it. It is, like, it is more romantic that way. Because, like, basically, they get there, and a lot of this has been, like, distractions, because, mm-hmm. you know, he's, like, in his coffin until sunset, you know?
I also love how in this one, they're like, oh, yeah, you can just be out in daytime.
Right.
Like, not that's like, the only time, I think, outside of, like, sparkling in the daylight, but you, like, vampires are, like, chill to be out in daylight.
Yeah. I just don't really, like, talk, like... It's more like, yeah, because he's in his coffin until sunset, but like, it's more like, I think it was just because it was like a traveling thing. It wasn't like he needed to do it, right?
Yeah, but no, like he's out in broad daylight, like wooing her. And they said, they were like, oh yeah, you can be out in broad daylight. Your just powers are kind of diminished. It's like, okay. Right, like,
he probably just like, so like, I, what, he can't turn into a wolf dude?
Yeah. And,
I'm like, I guess that's fine.
At noontime, but, you know, he can go out and, like, you know, burst into flames. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But, Oh man. So yeah, like he, at this point though, he's been like wounded because like the guy actually like, they like fight for a bit and he's mm-hmm. able to, wound Dracula. And, you know, Mina takes him inside into the church. And, when they like kiss each other and he turns back into his young self, like I got like a little emotional. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so cute. I love this. I'm devastated. And yeah, I mean, she cuts his head off and then like, she obviously like turns back to normal. Cause you see like the mark on her forehead disappear. And then like,
she's free to be human again.
Yeah. And well, like I would have liked like another like 20 minutes, not 20 minutes, maybe like 10 minutes of this movie where it's like the awkward like conversation that Jonathan and Mina now have to have. Like they can't sweep this under the rug.
No. Instead, it just like cuts to the end.
Cause like we see her and like she's looking up at the stained glass and it's like implied that they've been like reunited together. Like, you know. So it's
gonna
nice.
Be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end of it. And But yeah, so what would you say is your batshit moment?
Yeah, I think my batshit moment is definitely when he's full on like American Werewolf in London, like grinding up on top of her while like simultaneously sucking out her blood. Cause I was just not expecting it. I was just like, holy shit.
Like, yeah. No, I would say that would be mine too, because it's such a like, and I will say like, it is batshit, but it's also like, it's done so surreally that like, it doesn't really even feel that exploitative, and like it is, it obviously is, but like, I don't know, like I don't have a problem with it. Whereas it's like, it does feel like weird dream logic. You know what I mean?
She thinks it's like her dream and stuff. And
yeah, that it's a nightmare. Or not even a nightmare. It's just, like that it's like a weird dream.
It's like a weird sex with animals dream. Some bestiality.
That she's like real into. Like she's like really into.
Oh, yeah. That woman was like, who I think outside of having weird sex dreams had not had sex with anybody else outside of this weird beast track.
Yeah. And well, like, that's why she was so ready to get married, because she's like ready to have sex.
Yeah, she's like, I'm ready. Let's go.
Done.
So yeah, that's probably my batshit moment.
Yeah, I agree. I would say it would either be between that or like some of the like Dracula's like bride stuff that happens in the castle.
Yeah, that's where like when all like
feasting on him. Like,
yeah. And like everything's moving and they're like coming out of the bed and stuff.
Yeah.
This is trippy.
Yeah. I like that. So where would you put this on the garbage meter?
Yeah, I thought it was garbage. I know.
Nice. Hey,
like,
no,
I don't know.
I love it when we disagree. Cause like,
I fall asleep during a movie, I can't. And I was falling asleep. Like, I can't give you anything more. And, like, I don't fall asleep in movies, like, ever, even if I'm, like, tired. Like, I don't know if I'm suddenly becoming my mom once I hit the 30s, but, like, I don't fall asleep in front of the TV. It's, like, very off-brand.
That's so funny.
And I
was falling. Here's the thing for me is I will say that I think this is sweet garbage. The problem with it is that it's uneven. Mm-hmm. Like, if they had maybe, like, tightened parts of it, if they had cast certain parts a little bit better, I think it would actually be, like, a good movie. Mm-hmm. But, like, the things, like, the unevenness of it makes it why I think it's, like, good garbage. Right. At least it seemed like it, like, the vibes are immaculate is my thing. Like, I love the vibes.
I mean, Gary Oldman was very committed, like.
Yeah, he's super hot. Winona Ryder and Lucy, I can't remember what Lucy's name is in real life. Like, they look real good in corsets. Like, I'm here for it.
There was a period of time where she was in some period pieces, like The Age of Innocence.
Yeah. And then
she was in like a few period pieces. It's like, all right. When Winona Ryder, like then, man, Winona Ryder owned like the 80s and 90s. I'm glad she was kind of coming back now with like Stranger Things, but the only reason she's in Stranger Things is because it's nostalgic. She ended up being good, but they clearly cast for nostalgia purposes.
Yeah. But like, she's great. Like, she was great in Black Swan. Like, and
yeah, that was sort of her like coming back.
Yeah. And like, it's so annoying that like, she like, there was that whole shoplifting thing, and that's why she like, I'm like, we have men who are like straight up abusing women who like get to like make a movie 2 years later. Yep. And like, just cause she stole some shit, like that's so annoying.
Also very brazen. Like,
oh, 100% I love it. I was like, good for you. Like, crazy. I loved it.
But it's like, and then it became a joke too. Sort of like how Monica Lewinsky became the butt of jokes. Like these women that like, it's like, you stole something. Oh, you pulled a Winona. It's like, why is this a joke? Yeah. Or it's like, or just how Monica Lewinsky became like SNL late night fodder while.
No, it's true.
Literally dealing with the fact that like the president of fucking abused her. Like, that's what it is.
It was wild. Weird. No, like I will say the 90s and the 2000s. Were an atrocious time for women.
Yes.
My God, like, there's all that shit with, like, Britney Spears. There's all that stuff where, like, it's just, like, the narrative was, like, if you messed up a little bit as a woman, you became a laughingstock.
Yeah.
Like, you were not allowed to be a complex woman.
I don't envy young Hollywood nowadays. Whereas, like, you'll get the people that'll, like, shit on Kristen Stewart because she doesn't want to be famous but is famous. And then you'll get the people that are like, oh, well, like, you didn't, like, need to be in Twilight. I'm like, bitch, she made so much money off that.
Now she can do whatever she wants.
Exactly. And then I do also understand why the fuck, this is what bothers me. We're the problem.
Oh, for sure.
I understand it's a visual medium, and we see them, so therefore we're interested. But we, the consumer, are the problem. If we didn't care that Kristen Stewart went to Ralph's on a Tuesday, there's nobody outside of Ralph's taking pictures of her.
No, it's
because we buy the stupid magazines. We watch TMZ. And, like, there's a part of me that's, like, I hate it. Like, I try to be very, like, I don't care about the tabloid. If I like you, it's cool. You were on a late night show? That's awesome. I'll watch you on your late night show. I'm going to watch you in your YouTube videos. But the idea of, like, you and your boyfriend are going to Target, and there's pictures because we want to see that you guys are, like, kissing outside of Target or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, that's gross. So I understand that part of the celebrity that hates that. Like, I get that. I totally would hate that. I hate that I'd have to, like, worry about, like, I go to the goddamn corner store in my pajamas. But then if I'm famous, there's the half of me that says, fuck it, I'm still going to go in my pajamas. But then there's the other half knowing that, like, I'm going to get shit. Because I went to 7-Eleven in my pajamas because somebody took a picture of me at 7-Eleven.
Right. But here's the thing, too, though, is that like, then, like, there's they talk about how there's this disconnect, how there's, like, oh, well, like, celebrities aren't like us. They send their they send their assistants to, like, run their errands for them.
Well,
and it's like,
but
that's why they do it.
Yeah.
Like,
and then I think more often than not, like, they don't, though. They go to, like, they still go to the grocery store and shit.
Yeah. They go
But sometimes, if you're, like, fucking a celebrity, like, could you imagine, like, literally going down the aisle and, like, Taylor Swift also has her, like, cart and she too is going down the aisle?
There's a reason
why you Instacart. Because, like, that's weird. Like, it's not weird for me. It's just weird that people would be like, oh my God, we have to, like, stare at you as you're, like, picking out stuff in the frozen food section. And criticize what you're eating. And, like, shit. I'm like, that sucks. My God, I don't envy celebrity on anybody. It sounds cool for a day that somebody, like, knows who you are. It's, like, minimally famous sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. I wouldn't be famous enough to host SNL.
Yeah. But even then, if you're famous enough to host SNL, you have paparazzi. I'd want to be, like, no paparazzi person.
Hmm.
But the paparazzi doesn't give a shit about me. Paparazzi doesn't give a shit about Paul Giamatti. That dude can live his life. You know?
That's funny.
Be a Paul Giamatti. Don't be a Taylor Swift where they find out where you are and you have to go down the back elevator.
That's
because you can't go out the front door anymore. Like, fuck that, dude. I hate that for those kind of people. Like, I do. So if Kristen Stewart wants to hate being famous, she can hate being famous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, especially when, like, dude, when Twilight came out and then she was, like, dating Robert Pattinson. Her dating Robert Pattinson, I think, made the situation just way more amplified. I think if they didn't, like, date, I think that the celebrity aspect of Twilight may have fizzled more than it did.
Right.
Sort of, you know? But
probably.
But now she can go off and win an Oscar for being Diana.
Can't wait.
Well, that wraps this episode up. We're we're doing a special episode on Sunday. It'll be up on Sunday. We're watching Romeo and Juliet with one of our friends. It's like 3 weeks in the making because we couldn't finish all of it because we were just dead tired. We literally have like 3 minutes left.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like scheduling. So we're finishing it on Thursday. We're going to watch it and then we're going to record. It was really the recording. We could have like finished the movie, but the idea was like finishing the movie and then like recording an episode. That's like what you need the real logistics of. Really. Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be up, special episode up on Sunday for that. And then we jump in to November where we're starting to do some Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We got some fun ones up for that. So thank you always for the people that listen. Thank you. And thank you to the people that give us bad reviews too, because we still love you.
Have a good one. Bye.
See ya. Sweet, sweet garbage baby. Sweet, sweet garbage baby.